I don't know if you're aware of this, but Israel is famous for its bird life. In particular, it's on the migration path of birds that in the autumn time fly from Europe, which is about to go into a very cold winter, and fly to Africa, where life is a little bit warmer. What that means is that autumn is this amazing time for bird life in Israel. It's estimated that during autumn there are more than 500 different species of birds and more than 500 million birds in Israel. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Can you imagine being there in autumn with all that bird life all around you? There's a reference to this reality in the book of Jeremiah. The prophet there in the middle of autumn is speaking to the people, a message from God. And it's a message of God expressing a sense of his frustration, his being perplexed and puzzled that he's done so much to reach out to these people. But they just won't change how they behave and their lifestyle. And Jeremiah, looking around, draws inspiration from this mass of bird life. And he says this. He says, hey, even the stork that's in the sky knows her appointed seasons. And look around you, the dove, the swift, the thrush, they observe their time of migration. But my people do not know the requirements of the Lord. It's a verse that challenges us as God's people to know the seasons and what God would have us to do. We're in the middle of our seasons series. Last week we did summer. Next week we'll do winter. Who's looking forward to winter arriving a few months early? I had a look at the weather forecast. 24 degrees. Doesn't quite feel like winter, but I think it's going to be like 37 or something in the middle of the week, so it might feel like a cool change. And then the week after, we'll be looking at spring. But today, we're looking at the issue of autumn, based around this idea that God wants us to recognize the spiritual seasons and to know what to do. As the writer of Ecclesiastes said, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. And the big question of this series on seasons is, what spiritual season are you in? What spiritual season are you in? Today we're doing autumn, a season of refreshing. And you know that you're in an autumn season in some parts of your life if you're feeling spiritually dry, or maybe if you've just achieved an important goal. Maybe a chapter in your life has just finished, or you need to let go of the past so that you can move on into the future. Maybe you're here today and you are aware of a thirst in your heart. You want God to soften your heart. Maybe you're just crazy busy with so many things happening in your life and you need to simplify. Maybe you're starting a new chapter. Maybe you're ready to invest in future possibilities, a future harvest. Those are some of the signs that you might be in a spiritual season of autumn. Now, when we get to autumn, there are three key steps that take place, three activities in autumn that happen in a particular order. They are steps. The first thing that has to happen in autumn is it's a time for rain. And I want to ask you the question today. Do you want God to soften your heart? Do you want God to soften your heart? That's step one. The second step that happens after the rain is that it's a time to plow. And I want to ask you the question this morning, do you need to let go of something in the past so that you can move into the future? And then after the rain and after the ploughing, the third step is planting or sowing. And I want to ask you the question, what do you want to harvest in 2019? What do you want to harvest in 2019? Hey, a time for rain. Joel says this, "Rejoice in the Lord your God. He's given you the autumn rain because he is faithful." Back in ancient Israel, and it's probably true as well today, although not to quite the same degree, but back then, rain was the single most important part of the weather in terms of farming in Israel. Reliable rainfall was absolutely critical for the harvest. Rain was so important that they had a whole stack of different words to describe it. The four most important, there was a word which was used for rain in general, which is translated or could be translated calling forth life. We'll have a little bit of a look at that next week in our message on winter. There's another word which is specifically for winter rain that talks about heavy rain, the sort of heavy rain that fills the rivers and the creeks and the dams. And we'll look at that a little bit next week as well. Then there's another word for spring rain, which is really important rain because it's the rain that turns an average harvest into a bumper harvest. It's the rain that allows the wheat or the corn or the barley to really ripen and to increase in quantity. And then finally, there's a word for autumn rain that we're going to look at today. Ultimately, the reason autumn rain was so important was because in Israel, even today, the 5 months before autumn, a long summer, they have a long, dry summer, 5 months before autumn. For Jerusalem today, the average rainfall for the whole 5 months is 3 millimetres. In other words, they have 5 months where, in effect, you have no rain at all. You can imagine the impact of that for a farmer. It leaves the soil bone dry, rock hard. 5 months, no rain, bone dry, rock hard. That's the reality. It's completely unsuitable for ploughing, step two, or planting, step three. The farmers had to wait patiently for the autumn rains, a time for rain. And this inch or 2 inches of rain that would begin to fall usually in mid-autumn was absolutely essential to soften that bone-dry, rock-hard soil so that then you could plough and then you could plant. The whole idea of autumn rain, I told you just a moment ago that it had its own particular word. It's an interesting word because it's used in two or three different settings. It can be used to describe the shooting of an arrow. To shoot, like an arrow aimed at a target that hits the spot. It can also be used to describe teaching. Teaching as in God teaching his people his way. Isn't it fascinating that the word for autumn rain could be used to shoot an arrow, or the same word used to teach God's word? There's a great verse in Deuteronomy chapter 32 says this, "Let my teaching fall like rain, and my words descend like dew." Wonder if you've ever thought about that as we gather here together on a Sunday. What God is doing. God is letting his word fall like rain, descend like dew, keeping our hearts soft. Keeping our hearts soft. We put all that together. I think the idea is that this autumn rain, if we ask what does it mean for us spiritually, it opens the possibility that God softens our hearts by speaking a clear word aimed at a specific issue or target in our lives that hits that target and softens our hearts. Are you spiritually dry this morning? Is there an area where your heart is hard? Are you looking for spiritual refreshment? Then maybe it's a time for rain. To allow God to speak, to invite God, to ask God to speak a clear word aimed at a specific issue that would hit the target and soften your heart this morning. That's step number one. Step number two, a time to plough. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5, we read this, a lazy person does not plough in the autumn season. So at harvest time, they look, but find nothing. As I mentioned, at the end of summer, 5 months, no rain, the soil is rock hard and bone dry. It's only after the autumn rain has softened the soil that it's ready for step two, ready for ploughing. And what's the purpose of ploughing? Its purpose is to break up that upper layer of soil. Some of us will know the idea. We won't have a plough in our garden. We'll have a hoe, and we've done a bit of hoeing. I was a little bit disappointed. Sandra Holloway, who does all the work for us here with the leaves and the umbrellas and the artwork, I did ask Sandra. I said, "What I really need for point number two is a couple of oxen on stage with a plough." So I'm a touch disappointed with a hoe, but it'll do. You'll get the picture. You're out in your garden. You're hoeing. What are you doing? You're breaking up that upper layer of the soil. You're trying to bring the fresh nutrients to the surface. You're burying the weeds. Anyone got weeds that they're burying? I've got quite a few if any of you need some extras, by the way. Just drop round my place. And it's also, though, ploughing the remains of the previous crop. What's left of that, ploughing that into the ground, allowing that to break down and add nutrients to the soil. That's what's happening in ploughing. Jesus tells a famous story or parable about exactly this. You probably don't recognise the implications of ploughing in it. There's a famous story he tells, which is an autumn parable. It's known to most of us as the parable of the sower, but a lot of people think it should be called the parable of the soil. Jesus talks about a sower going out and sowing seed and the seed landing in different places. He talks about one type of soil where it lands on the path. The path is rock hard and bone dry from 5 months of summer. And even though there's been a little bit of rain, it hasn't been ploughed. People are walking up and down on it. It is still rock hard. That's one type of soil. Then he talks about rocky soil, soil that's still got lots of rocks and hard soil, and that soil's like concrete in it. It's rocky. And then he talks about soil which is filled with thorns. Weeds are all through this field. And then he talks about the good soil. And it's only the seed planted in good soil that grows and produces the crop, sometimes multiplying 30 times, sometimes 60 times, sometimes 100 times. But what's the difference between these four types of soil? Is that the good soil has been well ploughed. I'm trying to imagine what this would be like on a farm way back then. With the farmers, they've completed the harvest. They've completed the harvest, and maybe they're looking back on the harvest, and it was a bumper harvest. It was a record harvest, and you can imagine the farmers sitting around enjoying the sense of achievement. Maybe this particular farmer has won Harvester of the Year. Maybe his crop was so good it's come third in Harvest of the Decade. Maybe he's been nominated for the Farming Hall of Fame. It's been a great, wonderful, amazing sense of achievement. He could be tempted to get stuck in that moment. Or maybe, as he looks back on the harvest, it was just an average harvest. It was fine. It's okay. It was good enough. But nothing special. Or maybe when he looks back on that harvest, maybe it was a really poor harvest. There's very little to show for it. It's disappointing. It's been a disappointing year before. Maybe he's feeling like he's a bit of a failure as a farmer. Why would he bother trying again? Didn't work all that well last time. Why would you even try again? I wonder if any of those sorts of scenarios speak a little bit to you as you think about looking back on 2018 or 2017 and 18. Maybe you see a bumper crop in the last year or two of your life. It's a highlight. You could easily just sit there and enjoy the sense of achievement. Or maybe you look back and you feel like, oh, it was just an average year. Par for the course, nothing particularly special. Or maybe you look back and feel like the last year or two been really hard, really disappointing, really challenging. You don't feel like you harvested much. And you could be tempted to feel a little bit like you're a failure, or a little bit like, why bother? Why try again? But the reality is farmers don't do that. Straight after the autumn rains, they begin to plough. And they plough the remains of last year's crop into the ground, so that they can move forward into the next chapter. They refuse to get stuck in the past, whether it was an average past or a disappointing past or a bumper crop. They refuse to get stuck. They won't let us stop them from beginning the next chapter straight away. Friends, you and I, we all here are called to the next chapter. And I want to ask the question today, will you let go of the past? Will you let go of the past so that you can move into the next chapter of God's call on your life? What might that mean? Jesus, in the parable, tells us about a couple of things it might mean. He talks in that parable about the thorns that choke the plants so that they don't bear any grain. And he describes what they are. He talks about the worries of this life. He talks about the deceitfulness of wealth. He talks about the desires for other things. My guess is that when you and I think about autumn, the number one thing that characterises autumn for us is the changing of the leaves, the colours of the leaves. We have in Ballarat this tremendous array of deciduous trees. The word deciduous means literally falling away. And it describes what happens when leaves and flowers and fruit falls away from the tree. Why does that happen? Because nature and certain trees ultimately work this process where those things that no longer add value are discarded. They just drain energy, and resources need to be redirected into the essentials, into the roots, into the trunk, into the branches, not into these hundreds of other little things, leaves, flowers, fruit, that no longer add value. I wonder if your life is filled with lots of little things that no longer add value. Is your life filled with lots of little things that no longer add value? Would you be better off to let them fall away so that you can invest your resources in just a few essential things, a few things that are essential for your spiritual life? What do you need to let go of? What do you need to let go of? Maybe it's a relationship that no longer benefits. Maybe it's an opportunity that no longer exists. Maybe it's an experience that no longer happens. Maybe it's a lifestyle that no longer works. Maybe it's a situation you can no longer influence. Maybe it's an activity that no longer helps. Paul talked about this in his own life. He talked about forgetting what is behind so that he could strain towards what is ahead. Step number three, a time to sow or a time to plant. The teaching, it's a strong biblical theme, this idea of sowing and reaping in the pages of the scripture. And the best verse, I think, that summarizes it, summarizes the whole teaching is in Galatians chapter 6, where Paul says, "Don't be deceived, God's not mocked. Everyone reaps what they sow." After the rain, after the ploughing, the next thing that happens is it's time to sow. It's time to plant. And the reality is that something is going to grow in that soil. Something will grow in that soil. But the farmer gets to choose. Isn't that an exciting opportunity? The farmer gets to choose. Of course, the farmer could choose not to plant anything. So guess what's going to grow when the farmer doesn't plant anything? Weeds. Weeds are going to grow everywhere, aren't they? It's going to be packed full of weeds. We could choose not to sow anything. But if we do, we're pretty certain what we're going to get. Something will grow. The positive side of it is that we can choose. What will you plant in 2019? What will you sow in 2019? Or maybe, let me ask an even better question. What do you want to harvest in 2019? Because that's the question the farmer asks. What do I want to harvest in 6 or 8 or 10 months' time? What do I want to I want to harvest wheat. Guess what? I better sow wheat. Oh, I want to harvest corn. I better sow corn. I want to harvest barley. I better sow barley. The critical question is this: what do you want to harvest in your life this year? Make sure you sow that. What could it be? Well, the Bible gives us a couple of ideas. Jesus, talking about this same sort of idea of sowing leads to reaping, says, Blessed are the merciful, those that sow mercy, for they will be shown mercy. He goes on and says, if you forgive, if you sow forgiveness, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Mercy and forgiveness are good things to sow. In another place, Paul talks about generosity, speaking about financial generosity, but the principle can be applied across our lives. He says this, remember this, whoever sows generously will also reap generously. A generous abundance of God's provision, generosity shown back to us in a time of need. For God loves a cheerful giver. What do you want to harvest? Maybe you want to harvest a group of really close, loving friendships. Then maybe you could invest in being part of a small group or reaching out and extending friendship to a small group of people. Maybe you want to grow in your close relationship with Jesus, so you feel like you've got a deeper understanding of who he is and what he's like. So maybe you need to invest in worship, gathering with God's people, or maybe you need to invest in your prayer life, sowing into prayer. Maybe you feel like you really want to make a difference in some way in 2019, then maybe that means sowing into one of our ministry teams here in the life of our church, joining a ministry, joining a team, working out a way to use your spiritual gift. Maybe you want to sow into loving relationships in your family or with friends. Maybe that then means, if that's what you want to harvest, that you need to sow being who you are, being a loving person, a loving spouse, a loving parent, a loving child in 2019. Friends, the three questions I started with, let me ask them to you again. Is there a part of your life where you want God to soften your heart? Do you need to let go of the past so that you can move into the next chapter of God's call on your life in your future? What do you want to harvest in 2019? Friends, we're going to have communion together now, and I'm going to ask you to think and pray and meditate on those three questions as we take communion together. Could I ask the Connect and Serve teams, please, to come and hand out communion? We're going to listen to a song. Please eat the bread at your convenience, but hold the cup, and we will drink together in a moment.